o'clock hour. Don't forget we have the University of Northern Colorado men's basketball team at it tonight against Idaho. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off. Does that sound right, Colfax? There was a tweet out today that had us all confused, but I happen to know the voice of the Bears pretty good, and so I checked with him, and I think they were talking like Idaho time maybe or something, but yeah, that had us all very, very confused. Bears at it tonight. Must win. I mean, that's it. This team has to beat Idaho. They have two games against them. I said between Idaho and Montana State, I would have liked to see 3-1. That ship has sailed. Now you're just hoping to go 2-2 in that split there to try to get back on top. I mean, they should take care of Idaho. Idaho is winless on the season. The Bears just looking to get back to a 500 record by beating Idaho. And, I think Matt Johnson, he's had two really good games against Montana State, needs to get it going again tonight. The Nuggets going at it against the Golden State Warriors. And, I mean, Golden State's now 6-5. They started out the season a little rocky. Everybody said, oh, Steph Curry's not the guy anymore. But Curry's been kind of back to his normal self. You know, I think he's averaging 27 points? I think he had like two bad games and everybody freaked out. He's averaging 27 points, 6.4 assists. So, I mean, he's back to an elite level overall. So the Warriors, Nuggets, it's a huge game. I mean, for several reasons for Denver. Denver can't just flirt with this 500 record. I mean, this is a team that's supposed to be in that top three seed. But yet here we are. But tonight's still going to be interesting. Gary Harris is listed as out still for a personal reason. This is the world we live in. We don't know why people are out anymore. We just know they're out. And again, I'm not trying to say it could be something devastating. It could be family, and I hope all the best for Gary. But it used to be we kind of would know. Okay, family issue or something along those lines. So Gary Harris is still out, which is, you know, basketball-wise, not talking about him as a person, basketball-wise, that hurts because he was just kind of getting it going again. What will the Nuggets do? Are we going to see Bol Bol again tonight? We're going to talk to Chris Dempsey in about 5 minutes, and he'll give us the update. Michael Porter Jr. is still out. Health and safety protocols. It doesn't even say COVID on there. Still think that whole situation is weird. As for the Warriors, they're playing, you know, they got a couple of guys out, but they're going to have at least their core. Obviously, without Klay Thompson, he's out for the season. It's going to be a challenge. You know, they're coming off of a loss to the Pacers, but before that, you know, they beat the Clippers, they beat the Raptors. It's going to be a big challenge for Denver. And listen, I keep putting pressure on Jamal Murray. There's pressure on everybody on this team. The depth has to be better. Nikola Jokic, you're not going to get much complaints there, but he needs guys to cut and move around. He needs guys to help him create because it's hard for him. You know, that's his specialty is getting his. He's the ultimate team superstar. I mean, he can take a game on his shoulders. I've seen him do it. We've seen him do it. But he very much depends on guys moving around and cutting to the basket and creating movement on the floor. And you have guys for Golden State on that side of it. They've been turning it up. I mean, in the loss to the Pacers, Curry had 20, but you had the Rook Wiseman. He had 8 and 9 rebounds. Wiggins, 22 points, and then seeing Draymond Green kind of work himself back into the fold. He had 7 points and 10 assists. So Golden State's trying to get back up there to being one of those top teams. That's an interesting test for Denver. I mean, when do you really start panicking with the Nuggets? And I keep getting, you know, messages and stuff, and I tweeted out last night Jamal Murray's point totals in the playoffs, and I said, listen, this is nothing new. But the only bad thing is we're not seeing the highs. You know, the playoffs, you saw 50 points, but then you see 12. Well, now we're seeing 30 and 12. So the highs aren't as huge as they were. So that's something like we have to figure out. He has to figure that out. I said when the Nuggets drafted Jamal Murray, I said I think Jamal Murray has the potential to be one of the best guards in the league. And that was before he's a point guard because Emmanuel Mudiay was still on the roster. So you had Murray as kind of he was going to work himself into the two. Gary Harris was still at the two. So what were you going to do with Jamal? And I loved the move. You know, okay, Moutier was a miss. I loved him as a person, but not he just wasn't going to work as a starting point guard for the Nuggets and starting point guard in the league. So you move on, you go with Murray at one, and I said it right then. I said, all right, I think Murray could have the potential to be better than Steph Curry. And you know what? When Murray is at his best, he is better than Steph Curry. I know, it sounds freaking crazy, but you've only seen that like 20 times. There's only been 20 times where I would say Jamal Murray is better than Steph Curry. I think, obviously, he's bigger. He can rebound better. I like his ability. I'm a sucker still for mid-range shots. I know we're getting away from that in the NBA, and Curry was kind of one of the guys that changed that. And I'm not knocking his game. Curry's a fun guy to watch. But I do like Jamal Murray when he's feeling it, that free throw line extended. I like that. And then, of course, he gets people playing up on him at that free throw line extended and can pop in and get those beautiful layups that we were so used to seeing. But you got to step up. You got to step up. And I do not make excuses for you. Yesterday, getting texts like, hey, why do you don't make excuses for Von Miller? Why don't you make them for Jamal Murray? Championship MVP. Von has those two things and several Pro Bowl appearances. How many All-Star appearances has Jamal Murray been to? Zero. How many championships does Jamal Murray have? I think we can all answer that one, Colfax, pretty confidently. Zero. How many championships has he been to? Again, zero. You don't get it. All right, Lieutenant Spangle, what's the betting line for Murray's points? I'll take the over. Yeah, over tonight. What would you put the betting line on? Is it do you go 20? Over under 20? Let's go over under 23, because you know, once you get to the mid-20s, that's considered a pretty good game, right? Much under 20 at his level. Like, Jermichael Green scoring 19, 20? Oh, that's an amazing game. Monte Morris putting together 19, 20? Beautiful game. Jamal, you expect more than that. So over under 22? Give me the over in that. Taking the over? We're going to start setting the over under for Jamal Murray now every game.
Yeah, I'm over.
You're over?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the test will be the next night. You know, how inconsistent is he going to be? I'm telling you, it's mind-boggling. I've never seen a star quite like this. What do you think it is? Do you think he just cared more about his brand? Got too caught up in the brand and, you know, he's not back to the, you know, to push-ups in the snow. The things that got him here. I do worry about that. You know, there are players that get their contracts and then they just they care more about that brand.
I don't think so, because he's out there all the time talking about his brand. He's not LeBron James, constantly commenting on everything, is he? I don't think he is.
He's not, but like yesterday he tweeted, because everybody's giving him a hard time about shoes because he wears different shoes, colors or whatever. And he tweeted yesterday, think I might wear black shoes with white tights today just to throw people off, because he wore white shoes with black tights or something like that. And people were commenting that they didn't like the look. And so he's responding to that. And, you know, some people take that as you're paying attention too much to what people care about and think about you. Now, he said, you know, after game three, listening to the Zoom call, you know, Jamal said, all right, what are they going to say about me today? Can I shoot now? So he's clearly listening to it. He's clearly reading it. And it does mean something to him. Maybe the guy needs to get away from social. I mean, I'm not saying he tweets like Jerry Jeudy or anything. You know, he tweets inspirational stuff. I'm looking at his Twitter right now. I mean, he's not. It's nothing controversial. I mean, you're not looking at anything. You know, and I know he's definitely kind of becoming more of like an activist, too. I don't know if I should say activist, Colfax. I think that's like, if you're an activist, you're out constantly doing different things and they can barely get you to practice. So he's not there, but he's definitely, you know, trying to represent that side of things. And he did that in the bubble. And he's tweeting about his, you know, his shoes and different things like that. And whatever, you do whatever you want on your Twitter account. But maybe the outside noise is starting to seep in through the cracks a little bit. And Joker doesn't do any of this stuff. He's not on Twitter. He wouldn't understand it if he were. I mean, he doesn't care. He doesn't seem to care about it. He's very, like, he's more serious now than he's ever been. I will say this, but he's still very much let it all roll off. And again, I know that Joker's had his issues too. Last year we were having conversations about him, but it was still, it was different though, because he still had elite numbers even outside of the points. All right, 15 minutes after the hour, what do the Nuggets need to do to beat a Golden State team that's looking to become one of the top teams again here? We're going to catch up with Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. We'll be right back.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
What a coincidence. Get that rejoin there. And we actually have Christopher, don't call me Chris Dempsey, on the Chris, which is it? What do you really prefer? I've asked you this before, but I always forget. Christopher or Chris, if you had to pick, which one?
It's a good question. I know, it doesn't really matter. I call myself Christopher on the air, but it really doesn't matter.
I gotta ask the important questions first, man. You know that. I like to grill you that way. All right, how about this? What lineup can we expect tonight for the Nuggets against Golden State?
Oh, that's a good question. Man, I would think it'd probably be similar to what we saw in the last game. I don't know that Gary Harris will be available again, and so we're still waiting on Michael Porter Jr. I think it's similar to what we just saw, and as they try to get all their players back in place and lineups back the way they want them.
Are we going to see a little bowl action tonight again at that starting lineup?
Well, let's see. Maybe, it didn't go. I thought it went reasonably well for him, and then for the Nuggets, what that allows them to do is keep their bench rotation intact. So when you go beyond what your normal rotation is and just grab a player who maybe isn't playing at all and then put him in the starting lineup, then you can do what you want to do, what you normally would do behind the starting lineup with your bench rotations, which I think is very important to the Nuggets, because they're still trying to, sort all that stuff out. They're still trying to get players comfortable on the court together in whatever combinations, and just on the court in general. So, if you can grab Bol Bol, put him in the starting lineup, play him 15 to 20 minutes, and get good return off of that, now, you can get Monte Morris more time in that second unit with Campazzo and with Jermichael Green and with Hartenstein and all those guys. And so, I think for the Nuggets, that's valuable. And then Bol Bol did hold up fairly well against, obviously, one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen, Kevin Durant. And so that won't be his task tonight. So that just in that respect, the matchup would be a little bit easier for him. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the route they went again.
I love that point, too, because, and I'll admit, I even look at it and go, Bol Bol, he goes from not really playing to starting. But your point is exactly right. I mean, this doesn't mess up your depth, and you are really trying to get your bench figured out. You're really trying to develop some chemistry there, and so you don't want to shake that up as much. So that's a great point, Chris. Starting Bol Bol there does allow you to have some continuity with that bench.
Yeah, it does. George Karl used to do this kind of a lot too, and it's where I started to be turned on to it, which was so what he would do is, if he had started out, he would just always go, like, he would rarely ever think about just elevating somebody a normal reserve up to that spot. He would always just go deep into the bench and then grab somebody and put him in the starting lineup so that his bench rotation could be okay. For these Nuggets, you have the chemistry items, which they have to continue to work through and work on as they're going through this season. And then you have part two, which is interesting, which is, how do you get Bol Bol in the lineup? How do you get him minutes? And, if this is a player that you think is as talented as it appears he is, And just what he needs is, you know, time out there. He needs seasoning. You know, he needs time. He needs experience. He needs all of those things. And you can't get that for him if when you have your normal 10, you know, 10 players in your rotation. Well, now this is a way you can get that now, isn't it? And so, you know, it's for Bol Bol, these are very valuable minutes, because what he does and these times when you have time, when you have players out due to personal reasons and for injury or for health and safety protocols, is now you're trying to build up equity with the coaching staff so that when these players do come back, then maybe, you know, here, there's going to be occasions where they look down the bench and they go, you know what, let's put Bol Bol in, because what we saw from him in these two or three games when everybody was out, we want to see more of. Can he put more of that on the court? And so if Bol Bol really wants to play more minutes this season, then all of these little opportunities that he's getting, and, you know, I thought he took advantage of it last game. Now, can he do it again if he's out there again tonight, are very, very important to him and his ability to be on the court going forward.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, on the other side, you know, personal, when you see a personal situation or personal reason for Gary, obviously you just assume it's something it could be really difficult to deal with. So, you know, I try not to get too much into that side of it. Now, just on the basketball side of it alone, Chris, not that that's the end-all be-all, right? Personal stuff, you got to take care of your family situation first, whatever that is.
Sure.
But Harris has been rolling. I mean, offensively, he's kind of starting to find. He's finding that three-point shot. His defense is getting better. I mean, he's already a great defensive player, but you're starting to see this Gary Harris from 2 years ago. So, again, not that it's the most important thing, but it's a rough time right when Harris was really starting to gel again.
Yeah, he was starting to get that shot together. And the Nuggets, I think, were doing a better job of finding him in his strongest areas on the court. And, you know, for Gary, it really – I think Gary kind of – his offense really kind of boils down to three – things, and one of them is the corner three-point shot. He is really, really good when he shoots the corner three, especially when it's just a catch-and-shoot situation, square to the rim. You know, somebody has drawn a double team. He's open. He's wide open on the weak side. He's able to really just catch it in rhythm and knock that shot in. And then when he's on the cut, you know, from, you know, a dribble handoff action or some sort of pick-and-roll action where he's cutting on the backside of all that, and Nikola Jokic finds him, and he's able to, you know, lay it in or dunk. You know, that is a big part of his offense. And then steals. So, you know, defensively, you just mentioned, you know, his ability to get a steal, get the ball, and you know, be the one-man fast break and finish with a layup or a dunk on the other end. Those are his areas of when he has big offensive numbers. You see those are generally where they're coming from. And so he's just been able to get to those areas much more, especially in the last couple of games that he played in, than he was earlier in the season. And you mentioned the three-point shooting, and three-point shooting is a big deal for him, you know, and it's a big deal for the Nuggets offense, because not only does his cutting action help him and others on the offensive end, but if he's now consistently knocking in three-point shots, we know how that works, right? You space things out a little bit more for your star players. You know, teams don't feel the need to just look at you out there in the corner or at the angle and go, it's okay. We'll scramble out to him if he happens to get the ball, but our first priority is to double down on Nikola Jokic or double down or get the ball out of Jamal Murray's hands. You know, so if you're making shots, it's a multiple reasons why that's good for the Nuggets offense. And just one of them is that he gets himself going and that he's actually knocking in three-point shots. But for him, you know, it was good to see him get into a rhythm. You know, you hope that however long he's going to be gone, that won't, you know, just derail where he was in terms of shooting the basketball. And we'll just see. You know, we'll just see. You know, Gary Harris has shown, you know, the ability to pick right up where he's left off. But this was It was just really nice to see him get that confidence back, and so hopefully he'll be the same whenever it is he returns.
What about Michael Porter Jr.? Hearing Coach Malone, it took a while. I think we were all kind of wondering, all right, does he have it? Is it still just contact tracing? Is Porter doing something that's against NBA rules now, COVID rules? But then Coach Malone kind of let it squeak out there that he was out due to COVID. So what's the latest on MPJ? When can we expect him back in the lineup?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, so last week, So when he was initially out, that was a contact tracing situation. And then you remember the reports came out that he was going to be gone another 10 to 14 days. And then that would have been because, of a positive. And so, I think we're approaching the 10-day period since that second report. So, the Golden State Warriors tonight, then you have Utah on Sunday. I mean, maybe Sunday is a day that we could reasonably expect to see maybe the return of my MPJ, but if not Sunday, certainly next week at some point in time. I mean, he's not going to be gone forever. But I think we're starting to get into that window where it's like, okay, he should be returning. I mean, listen, he's got to return negative tests. I mean, that's just what has to happen. I mean, and until he does that, I think it's how many negative tests is it? I think it's two. Until he returns those in a satisfactory manner, then obviously he won't return. So, but if he's doing that and the negative tests are coming, then I would expect to see him in pretty short order.
Yeah, we'll be staying tuned to that for sure. All right, how about on the other side, Chris? Golden State. We know at the start of the season, no Klay Thompson, which was a big hit to them. However, you have Steph Curry. A couple of people doubted him, and then boom, he just takes off. Now he's averaging high point totals again. I would never go against that guy. But Golden State, they're a game over 500. They're trying to get back to that NBA royalty that they once were. Tell us about Golden State tonight. What are the Nuggets have to do to beat this team?
Well, for Golden State Warriors, it's interesting. They started off 0-2, and they're 6-2 since then. So, they're starting to get things figured out a little bit. There's so many moving pieces and new players there in that situation that have to learn what it is to play alongside, Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and ultimately Klay Thompson as well. It's such a unique system that they run with all the movement and the 300 passes per game and the split cut action and all that kind of stuff. So it's not easy if you're new to that situation. And so I think what we're seeing from Golden State is just the growing pains, with a lot of players. And I mean, you have Kelly Oubre Jr. there. Wiggins is a little bit of a holdover from last year. But Damian Lee, who has actually won them a game this year, is a guy that has to get integrated into all that. And so, I mean, there's just a number of players there that have to get used to the system. Now, first and foremost, let's just stop Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
that's if you're the Nuggets, you got to find a way to slow him down. And I think what we've seen from him, in the past and maybe to a certain extent this season when he's not scoring 30 points, is that, if you stay in, if you close down the space and just contest all the shots, maybe you can force him into a bad shooting night. I mean, he's put a couple of those on the board already. So, I think it's not unreasonable. It's a little bit different than Kevin Durant. It's kind of like, all right, well, we're just going to contest the shot and just hope this dude misses because, he's the ultimate offensive weapon. I think Stephen Curry, he's by and large going to knock in a bunch of three-point shots, but you can expect that if you do everything, perfectly, that maybe you'll catch him on a night where his shot is just not falling. So you got to slow him down a little bit. And then Kelly Oubre is a player that can get away from you, as the Nuggets well know from his a couple of games against Phoenix last year. Andrew Wiggins is a player that can put high points on him. He doesn't do it all the time, maybe not even most of the time, but he has the ability to pop in a good game for him as well. And then the Nuggets will get their first look at James Wiseman, who I think has been really, really a nice addition to that basketball team. So talented basketball team, not the overwhelming talent that you've seen from the Golden State in the past, but the Nuggets still have to come and bring their A game if they expect to beat this team here tonight.
All right, well, before we let you go, Chris, the news of yesterday, right? James Harden trade. I tried to go through that and memorize the all the deals that went through on that four-team trade. It's ridiculous. Bottom line is the way I'm saying it is James Harden is now with the Nets. The rest of it you can Google and figure out.
Yeah. I mean, it's he got his wish.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do is just be difficult enough and smack talk your team in the media, and you too can be gone. Brooklyn obviously, just puts themselves on the short list. I mean, they already were.
Yeah.
So many thought that they would just be getting to the finals anyway. But now what they look like immediately is a team that if you're the Lakers, now you have now you're sitting up and taking notice. You know,
yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. Can this team, is that enough for them to really, give us a real fight if that's the actual finals? And so, it's definitely good for Brooklyn. It's very rare that you can look across the landscape of all the teams that got stuff. And say, you know, they all actually made out pretty well. I mean, Houston obviously is the biggest loser because you lose the best player. But the draft picks that they got in return that is huge. And then to be able to get a good look at Victor Oladipo in your program, that's a big deal. And if you don't want to have him on the program, then he'll be a free agent next season. You can let him go. Caris LeVert to Indiana is going to be a Indiana's already a very formidable basketball team, and he's going to really add to that equation. And then I really do like Jared Allen in Cleveland. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of good young players with Sexton and Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. and Isaac Okoro, and now you just add Jared Allen to that. And I just think that's an exciting young team, here in the next few years. And so, there's a little bit of something for everyone, and obviously the big prize going to the Brooklyn Nets, who now obviously look like on the short list for not just final contenders, but NBA champions.
I think it's going to be interesting, Chris, to see how Nash handles this, though, right? Because the first thing, I think we all say it, is there enough basketballs to go around? Especially if Kyrie decides he wants to play basketball again. You have three guys there that, you know, for better or worse, they have an ego. They love the ball in their hands. That's when they're at their best. And this is Nash's first stint here. So, you heard Nash, 2 weeks ago, say he didn't know where Kyrie was. He reached out, didn't get any response. So, talk about welcome to the NBA as a head coach. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it will. I mean, when you have personalities like that and, you know, I mean, James Harden, I wonder how that will go. You know, he wasn't a rock the boat kind of player until just these last few weeks.
Right.
When he really wanted to get out of Houston, he was just going to do whatever he had to do to get out of Houston. And so maybe he just comes back down to wherever, you know, to his personality level, which, really, like I said, wasn't a real rock the boat kind of situation. Now, Kyrie is a different animal. Kevin, you know, we're seeing how that's playing out right now. Kevin Durant, you know, he seems to be, he knows that he's going to get the ball and he's the best player on the team. And so that's sitting well with him. But I think if you're Steve Nash, the good thing is that Kevin Durant and Harden have played together in the past. And so they understand what that looks like. Now, Harden wasn't quite, he hadn't reached peak Harden powers yet. He still has a reference point as to what that feels like on the court with Kevin Durant. So, you know, they'll get that sorted out. I don't think it's going to look very smooth, maybe for a few weeks. But, the good thing for them is they're just so overwhelmingly talented that they can just put together maybe some clunkers and still win the game anyway because there's just that much talent on the court. But you make a good point. Steve Nash is going to have his hands full in terms of ego management a little bit, especially with Kyrie. And then how do you distribute the ball, the basketball? And maybe those three can get it sorted out amongst themselves as well.
Yeah, well, it's always must-see TV to me. I love it. I know it gets overwhelming. Sometimes people don't like the movement in the NBA. But, we'll see. The Nuggets stay in the course for the most part with their core. We'll see if they can turn it around a little bit and get a win streak going. Chris, what time does coverage start for you guys tonight?
The coverage, we don't have the game tonight, so it's on TNT. TNT exclusive tonight. So I know Scott Hastings will be doing the radio call with Kaz there on 92.5 Altitude Radio. And then we will be back with ya on Sunday when they take on the Utah Jazz. And so I believe that game starts at 6, and so coverage would start at 5 at that point in time. So I'll sit back and watch the game along with everybody else in the living room.
Join me, man. That's what I'll be doing. I don't have to look good like you guys do all the time. So it's kind of fun. Chris, appreciate you as always, my friend. And let's see if the Nuggets can get back to 500 real quick here tonight.
Yeah, it would be nice. We'll see. We'll see. We'll cross our fingers and hope that's the case. For sure.
All right, my man. There's Chris Dempsey and Bull Bull tonight. So I think he's going to start. That makes sense. You know, I was ranting and raving about it yesterday, but I get what Chris says. You start Bull Bull, even though he's not in the rotation really. You start him. That way you don't have to mess up your bench. And the bench for Denver, aside from defense, has been the biggest issue that we're talking about here. Chris saying maybe Sunday we see MPJ back in the mix. He was also the guy who said he wasn't going to go against the Mavericks 2 weeks ago when we heard otherwise, or last week. So I tend to believe our Nuggets insider and Chris Dempsey. 39 minutes after the hour. Colfax, you ready? Thursday night special. I'm 0-1 to start the year. I don't feel good about that, but I feel great about this pick tonight. So we'll get to that coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Thursday, Thursday. Thursday.
It didn't even hit me.
Thursday.
Classic.
Not so special.
This is one of the Thursday night special classics.
Thursday.
This was a while ago.
Thursday.
They play it on the classic rock station now, I think. Is that right? Yeah, man. Whoa. One of the original Thursday night special songs written, produced, and sang by none other than Colfax a Million. Great work by you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just some weird inspiration struck at one point.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like anything I've ever heard before.
Nope. And it's a hit.
It's purely, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Colfax. Tonight, I'm looking at a college basketball game. I'm looking at the one that's going to air on KFKA tonight. Now, CSU, I'm looking at CSU, San Jose State. Okay. Yeah, the Rams are going to win. That's not that difficult. Nuggets, Golden State? I'm not touching that right now. I need to get a win, Colfax. I need to get a win. You know, I'm 0-1 to start the year. That's a bad look for me. It's a bad look for Mr. Thursday Night. CU's playing right now, so, I mean, I can't really pick that game. That's not possible. So I'm looking at UNC and Idaho tonight. You're going to hear that one here on KFKA. The Lemons Heating and Cooling pregame show starts at 6:30. Listen, I know you look at Idaho and go, all right, well, 0-9. Brady, this isn't going to be that difficult. If you pick, well, you know, bottom line is UNC's lost four of their last five games. They beat Montana State with a kind of a crazy comeback within 5 minutes. If other than that, you know, they would have been on a five-game losing streak. It's not a good look. And I kind of pegged this team to be a top contender in the Big Sky Conference. It is a must-win game tonight. They are favored by 7 in this one. I'm not taking a spread. I'm taking the Bears to win.
Hold on to your butt.
Yay! Oh, is that a bear attack? Is that from the Revenant? Go, Bears!
Thank you all so very much. Thank you to the Academy.
Is that Leo? After winning after the bear attack?
Jab steps at him.
I heard the Bears doing other stuff. Is that our boy? Jason Alvin,
thank you to all of you in this room. I have to congratulate the other incredible nominees this year.
Was that a real bear? That should be the actor of the year.
Tomahawk thunder dunk for Core Joe Cooch.
Core! I love Core Joe Cooch. Man. Oh, that bear. Did you see that? That scene was nuts, man. The Leo bear scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah. Did you like that movie?
I didn't see the movie. I just watched the scene.
You just now. Oh, that scene is terrifying, man. So that's that movie and that attack, it's loosely based on a real story.
Right. I remember hearing that.
Yeah. It's not exactly how it goes, but that story is kind of like he was basically dead and he's managing to find his way back to a camp and survives. But he wasn't like a great dude either. It's just interesting. But the bear attack thing really happened. And in fact, there's some more urban legend with that that was more than just a bear attack. So I'm not going to get any more than that. No, seriously, look it up. It's really weird. It's a weird thing. now we transition back to sports talk here, Colfax. Listen, at the beginning of the season, I said I feel like UNC's getting, you know, they're getting knocked here. The wise guys picking all these big sky teams and stuff don't even have the Bears finishing in the top three, top four. Well, the Bears are in third to last right now. Third to last. They're ahead of Montana, who they split with, and they're ahead of Idaho, who Idaho has not won a game. So this isn't as easy as it looks. I mean, if you're UNC, you're struggling, and you also know that if you lose this game, does that tell you that the Bears are now officially bottom of the barrel in the conference? I mean, that's where you are. So I like UNC to win this game. I'm a little nervous about it, but we're going to go for it. That's going to be here on KFK tonight. They got two games against Idaho. You absolutely have to win them because then you have Eastern Washington starting next week. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll get to what's on TV tonight, what's on KFK tonight as well. Well, I'll give you a hint, UNC Idaho. 49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. You leave your pieces on, that's your car. It never paid to be
merciful. Come every auto, come at all. Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. No Co. Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Eight minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back. Congratulations to McKinley Wright. We knew it was going to happen, but he just passed Jay Humphreys on the all-time assist record for Colorado. He now has 563 assists. Mark Johnson, I was watching it during the break, a great friend of the show. We talked to him yesterday, but I was watching the broadcast, and Mark on the call said, in a day and age where this game is about how I'm going to get mine, McKinley Wright, who will be in the NBA, just passed an assist record. Pretty special player there, man. Maybe look good in a Nuggets uniform. I don't know. Wouldn't that be great? Congratulations to McKinley Wright. It's great. What's on TV tonight? Well, the Buffs are playing right now, and last I checked, they were taking care of business there. So they were down by like 10 in the first, but came back before halftime, got up by 10. So that game's still going on. Tonight, the Warriors at Denver at Ball Arena. Got the Warriors Nuggets, 8 o'clock Mountain. That's not going to be on altitude. That's going to be on TNT, as we heard from Chris earlier. UNC Idaho tonight on 1310 KFKA. Pregame starts at 6:30, and 7 o'clock is the tip-off there. And then CSU and San Jose, that's a 7 o'clock game tonight. So I'm not sure what network that's going to be. 7:30, excuse me. They play at 7:30 against San Jose State. So that's a lot of basketball. That's kind of how it's lining up lately, man. You kind of have your choice, and that's a good thing. UNC's got to win. CSU, I mean, they're a good team. If you lose to San Jose State, suddenly that's weird, because Kelly told us, I mean, this is a bad team. San Jose's a bad team. But they lost by like a lot to Boise State their first game. They lost by one, the second game against Boise State, the best team in the conference at this point. So could this team be a sleeper? Could it be a trap game? Probably not, but you got to be careful. I think it's a pretty important night tonight for basketball that we talk about. Yeah, the Buffs are now up 87-56 over Cal. 2 minutes left. I think it's safe to say they're gonna grab that one. The Buffs are having a great season, man. A busy, busy night tonight. A busy, busy basketball night, and an important one. You need all three of these teams to get W's. And tomorrow, yes, we'll get into NFL playoffs, second round, some great games on the docket. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.